Today, President Trump receives an update on Operation Warp Speed. That's his effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine. The president hasn't spoken publicly in a week, and he still hasn't conceded the election.
And last night on MSNBC, Joe Biden's incoming chief of staff, Ron Klain, said the delay in the transition of power could affect vaccine development.
We're doing our jobs. The transition is moving ahead. The American people saw this in public this week, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris doing their jobs. But as time passes, the need to get the full access we are entitled to and the full access that the American people want us to have, it grows each day.
Our Friday roundtable joins us now. Aisha Roscoe is White House reporter for NPR. Hi, Aisha. Good to have you back.
Hello.
And Olivia Nuzzi is Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Hi, Olivia.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And Olivia, let's start with you. Why the silence from the Trump administration and from the president himself? I know you've written an article titled The Final Gasp of the Trump Presidency. What are you hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing is that it's a few different things. There are some friends and advisors of the president who think that he is, as we would expect, humiliated by defeat. Being a loser is obviously something that Donald Trump never wanted to be. It's an insult that he lobs at people frequently. And other people who think that, you know, he really did not enjoy being president, even if he enjoyed the status that it brought him. Even if he enjoyed seeming like a winner. And he's dragging this out because it's dramatic and he doesn't want to appear like he's going down without a fight. But the silence from him is obviously uncharacteristic. We see him on Twitter a bit retweeting right-wing activists, retweeting right-wing media hosts. But we have not heard from him in person. He has avoided the press. And this is obviously not what we have come to expect from Donald Trump. And so it makes me think that perhaps he genuinely is crushed by the defeat on an emotional level, or perhaps he is unsure of what to do. I mean, this is kind of what defined the last stretch of the campaign to me as an observer, as someone who has covered Donald Trump for years now, was that the president, based on all of my interviews and my reporting, seemed to be genuinely unsure of how to act, what to do, what to think. He wasn't sure if he should trust his yes men anymore. And I think that he seems as uncertain now. That's what the silence is suggesting to me.
Yeah. Aisha, what are you hearing? Is the president getting closer to acknowledging the truth that he's lost? I mean, I'm sure you saw today that Trump advisor Peter Navarro said publicly on TV that they're preparing for a second term.
Yeah, it doesn't seem at this point that the president is acknowledging that, you know, that he lost, the reality that is there. What we've been hearing is sort of hints. You had, Geraldo Rivera tweeting today saying that he talked to President Trump, and that President Trump is willing to concede that he lost, but he wants to wait until states certify their results and wait until there's actually maybe an electoral college outcome. None of that is going to change the reality, which is that President Biden that Vice President Biden is now President-elect Biden. That's not going to change. But you see this kind of almost, you know, maybe an emotional thing that Trump is going through. This is one of the longest periods, definitely of this year, where President Trump has gone without talking answering questions. And it is one of the longest stretches of his presidency where he has not made public remarks.
Olivia, even though the president may be saying that he wants to wait until states certify the results, there are a handful of Republicans who are saying that the president should begin the transition and do the traditional things such as share intelligence briefings with Joe Biden. There's also talk that Donald Trump could announce a 2024 election run soon. The New York Times reports it could happen as soon as Joe Biden is certified as the winner. If that does happen, if President Trump wants to make another run, what effect could that have on other members of his party? And I wonder if you think it could embolden some and silence others.
Well, it's interesting. I was sort of expecting, perhaps naively, right after the election, for more Republicans to distance themselves from Donald Trump for months prior to the election. Some people in Washington certainly seem to be preparing for a post-Trump era. And the president, he himself started to admit that he might lose in July after the disastrous Tulsa rally. That was an embarrassment to him because not enough people showed up, or certainly not as many people as the campaign had advertised. And some people ended up getting, there was a spike in coronavirus cases in Tulsa after that rally. And he started to acknowledge the reality of what the polls were saying back then in July. But publicly, of course, he never admitted that. And even as he inched closer to Election Day, and there were some suggestions from him that, you know, I heard him at rallies saying, if we win, which seemed to be a departure from how he had been speaking previously, he was not openly preparing for a loss. And I think now, you know, he's preparing for a second act, and the implications for the party, I think, is that it becomes more complicated to define what they are with Donald Trump out of the White House. You see some Republicans continuing to back him up after John Jr. tweeted wondering where the 2024 contenders were defending him. People seem to spring into action. You saw Nikki Haley and others coming out to defend him. But there are many Republicans who, you know, want the party to return to something approaching normalcy. But it's not clear what that will look like if Donald Trump continues to loom over everybody and kind of take up all the oxygen as he has since 2015.
And still holding the levers of power as well. Aisha, the president has been firing some people at the Pentagon. Also, apparently, according to the Washington Post today, at Homeland Security as well. Is the Joe Biden transition team concerned about this kind of thing?
Well, they're not saying that they're publicly that they're concerned. They are doing what they can at this point. Obviously, you know, Joe Biden has said, look, there's one president at a time. We're going to do what we can. But you do see them starting to say, you saw Ron Klain give an interview where he raised concerns about how not having that legal transition happening, not them not being allowed into agencies, et cetera, how that could affect their handling of the coronavirus and the rollout of the vaccine, which needs to be seamless, but they're not being allowed in at this point. So I think there is there are questions about what is going on and concern from outsiders looking in about what is going on at the Defense Department and how is national security being dealt with within the Defense Department when this is a very critical time when you have people, adversaries of the U.S. are looking and they could see a moment to try to do something because they see that there's tension or weakness because there's so much upheaval.
Yeah, Aisha, sticking with you for just a minute. As you say, the incoming Biden administration is trying to get to work, but already they're facing questions about whether the president-elect would enact some form of shutdown after one of his coronavirus medical advisors said this week that it would be effective. And Republican governors are already pushing back on Biden's call for national mask mandates. Here's Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts this week.
So if President-elect Biden is indeed confirmed to be the next president and he approaches me about a mask mandate, I would not be going along with a mask mandate.
How tough is it going to be for Joe Biden to forge consensus on the coronavirus when he finally gets to work?
It's going to be tough because it's become a very political issue. But you have seen some Republican governors, as things have worsened in their states and in prior surges where things worsened in their states, where they have gotten more strict about mask wearing or where they have taken more proactive action when it comes to mask wearing. But at this point, it is very political. So it's not going to be something where Biden's just going to be able to come in and he'll have his mask on and everyone will just go along with it. It's going to be a test of the new administration, how they can try to, you know, push or cajole or try to get states to move along with what they're trying to do when it comes to the coronavirus. Part of that may be, unfortunately, the pressure that these states will feel on the ground and how bad it gets. That is the real life pressure of it.
Yeah, and the other test will be a coronavirus relief package. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this morning.
This is a red alert, all hands on deck. This is an emergency of the highest magnitude. And yet, our Republican colleagues want to focus elsewhere.
Yeah, Olivia, we have just about a minute left here, but what do you think? Can Biden break the impasse on this issue?
I have a hard time seeing that. I think the trends of negative partisanship that really started in retaliation to the election of the first black president that got worse, that got Donald Trump elected, are going to make it very, very difficult for Joe Biden to bring people together, which has been his pitch all along. I have a hard time seeing Republicans wanting to work across the aisle with the Biden administration.
Yeah. Olivia Nuzzi, Washington correspondent for New York Magazine, and Aisha Roscoe, White House reporter for NPR. It's a pleasure to have both of you on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.